Now we're going to be talking with the Fleet Admiral, Fleet Commander for the Cold Terror Fleet, Marok. Did I pronounce that right, Mark?
Marok. Close.
Marok. Okay. And see about some of the things that they're planning or doing this year. One of the things I've noticed is you're very big with this thing called the Red Nose Day. You want to talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, Red Nose Day is something an employer does. They support a children's charity, and they've been doing it for a number of years. And a couple of years back, I got the idea that, hey, we're already doing Toys for Tots and other charity events. Why not the Red Nose thing? Because it looks like it could be fun. Because everyone dresses up in the stores on Fridays. They have red T-shirts. They wear silly outfits. And I said, wouldn't it be kind of funny to have Klingons and Ridges with red noses from all over the country? What a way to get CAG out in the open, and what a way to help promote a really great children's charity. And they sell these noses in the store. And the money, of course, goes to charity. It's a lot of fun. We actually have a wall that goes up in the store that I'm at. I turn it into the official fleet, and then CAG headquarters, for the entire event. We have people send us in pictures. I pull them off of Facebook, and we cover the wall with them. And it's funny because every time someone from corporate or a district manager or a VP comes in, they see this wall full of Klingons wearing red noses. And they're like, you're kidding. No. And we actually decorate the wall. We have a Klingon battle cruiser or a bird of prey that we hang from the ceiling, and it's got a red nose attached to the front of it. And we have a good time with it. And we also do some red nose at certain events in May, because the campaign actually starts in March and usually runs until about end of May or end of June, depending on how long they run it for before the actual Red Nose is on television, because they also televise this charity, has an event. It started overseas. I believe it was in England. And it just kind of came over here. We have a lot of fun with it. I'm sure you've seen all the pictures from last year all across CAG where people were just dressing up. And the fun thing is you use the nose. You have to get a new one because that money does go to charity. And so by taking the picture with it, you're showing your support and that you've gotten a nose, which means you donated.
And you guys change the bloody noses every year, so we can't reuse them.
Actually, we didn't. Red Nose Charities did that.
Buggers.
They are, and I think you're going to see a change from that, because I don't know what we're going to have this year. I haven't gotten the packet yet, because being that we're volunteers and we do support it, our store gets a packet, but I also get an extra packet for volunteer purposes to know ahead of time. I don't know if they're going to do the same thing next year. Now, they recycle all these noses, too. They actually send all this material back, and it's recycled. So it's environmentally friendly on top of it all. But the problem we had this past time, the noses in the blind bags did not go over very big with people.
No, they don't.
And so that's something I think they're probably going to change. They also try to, it came out too late for CAG to do it, and I wish they had done this earlier. They had a challenge where you buy a whole box full of noses, and two people sit across from each other and rip open the blind bags and try to find all five of them. And you have to have enough people to wear them all. Had they done that earlier, I would have gotten my entire crew together, and we would have done that in costume and made a video, and it would have been funny. But
I know a couple of years ago, John Haverson bought a box of red noses and brought them to Trek Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing. I buy a couple boxes. I bring them down to this local event that we do at a library called Oakland Fan Fest. And we either, we sell the noses to people. And so basically they make double the money because we've already paid for them once. So we sell them to whoever wants them. We take that money back and we actually donate it. We also do another thing. We had the year before last, I had stormtroopers, Jawas, and other people from the 501st join us. And they were wearing red noses. And we had lots of fun figuring out how to stick a red nose on a stormtrooper's helmet. That was interesting.
I was trying to figure out how you stick a red nose on a Jawa.
Two-sided tape. It worked. But we've been doing this for a while. It's started to get the company's attention because they also, Walgreens does have a Twitter site. So what I will do when we're out at events is we'll take a ship picture of the whole crew dressed up with our noses on, and we come up with some kind of crazy Klingon saying, and we tweet it out to them. Surprisingly, the last couple times we've done it, the admin for the company Twitter site has actually somehow looked up and responded to us in Klingon. So that's promising.
That's actually wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great way to get our presence out there in front of things, and that way we become known.
And I noticed that in years past, we've had a little problem with Red Nose Day stopping before some of the big cons down in this area. But the cons have moved now, so they're going to be solidly within the Red Nose time frame this year.
One of the challenges, too, is we want to make sure that everyone gets to participate. Well, there are no Walgreens up in Canada. So our northerly Klingons, I sent a box down to our Supreme Commander, and he forwarded them up north so that they could participate because they wanted to play as well.
That is great.
So, I mean, to be able to do that, and we've done it twice now. So, you know, one way or another, we get them up there. And so that kind of reaches outside of the box a little bit. And that kind of, when I started showing photos around at work, hey, where did those come from? Oh, just way up north in Canada even further. People were pretty surprised by that. And, you know, my boss's boss looked at me and said, how did those get up there? I said, we sent them to him. He said, you bought a box and sent them? I go, yep.
And I understand your bosses are really, really pleased with how these things are turning out, with the participation.
They have been. They've been very surprised at that. It wasn't always that way. You know, when we first started doing these type of events, and I'll get into that when we talk to some of our other events, some people kind of made faces and kind of doubted. And it wasn't until, you know, we had our very first toy drive, which will be 10 years ago, as of this year, we're on our 10th anniversary, I got laughed at about that. And, you know, when 300 people went through that store and 40 of them were volunteers in costume, they weren't laughing anymore. They were like, gee, we got to find a way to back this up and support it.
Yeah. I've seen you've had some major success convincing your bosses that the fan community can step up and do these things.
They can. The big challenge is you have to remember that at the end of the day, Walgreens is a business. It's a corporation. So we do have to follow certain policies, rules, procedures when we're on their premises. But we've managed to be a good working partner with them. You know, each year I try to meet with my boss's boss ahead of time in case there's things. Now, we've had corporate people who try to actually stomp out our event the year before last. And we had a regional vice president step in and say, We'll change some of the rules for how they do the event, but they're still doing that event.
Yeah, unfortunately, you see that a lot with the corporate bigwigs. You're not doing it our way or the way we want it done, so it will be stopped.
Well, it wasn't so much that. This was a person behind the desk in the office who was in the sales department that didn't understand what was going on with this event, and they didn't want Toys for Tots in any of the stores. They figured the merchandising of product was more important than having that event. And when they were going to try to pull it out of the stores, there was quite a pushback, not only from the community and not the fan community as a whole, but as well as Toys for Tots was going to pull their support. That's when they stepped in and said, no, wait a minute. We have room in the front of the store to do these events. We're doing them.
So let me get to our listeners here. We've switched from Red Nose Day to Toys for Tots. Is that correct?
We can talk about that.
Well, since you brought it up, let's.
Okay.
How does that go over?
That's probably my ship's signature event in Chicago. That's the biggest event that we have as far as charity-wise.
And your ship is?
The Bulk-Ka. And we're based out of Chicago, as everybody knows. I'll give you a little background on how this got started. About 10 years ago, I was an assistant store manager on the west side of Naperville. And the then district manager wanted a project from every assistant store manager that had to do with charity. Didn't matter what charity, but they wanted you to come up with a community, what they called a community relations project. So I got this bright idea that why couldn't we dress up and have the Marines come and have Klingons present Toys for Tots. It would be a big, you know, we would have a big draw. And so when I presented it to the district manager, she kind of rolled her eyes and said, I don't know. I don't think this is a good idea. Toys for Tots, the reps looked at us and kind of shook their heads. We don't want to do this with you guys. And, you know, it was more of, I think they had no idea what they were in for. So we got it together. I told the district manager, well, you know what, I've already started planning this. And I spent over, I think, $300 just getting decorations and things to get it off the ground. You know, tarps, flats, red tablecloths to hang down from the ceiling. So we redecorate the entire front of the store. It basically becomes a Klingon drugstore for that one day. And lo and behold, we had 30, 40 volunteers from CAG, from another club called CHI. We had the local group called the Phantom Battalion show up in their Starfleet uniforms. We had Star Wars people come out to help. So we had like 30 or 40 volunteers. Plus, it didn't hurt, too, that the cast, that Klingon Christmas Carol sent some actors in costume as well to help out. And they walked in, and we had over 400 people go through that store in less than 2 hours. And their sales, I won't get into the numbers, but they were huge. And when they saw all of this, their tune changed. They were like, holy shit, we got to back these people up. We've got to make sure there's enough hours so they have an extra cashier. And we got to make sure there's enough volunteers to pick up all these toys, because we filled up 10 bins full of toys that day. They didn't know what to do with it all. They actually had to go and rent a truck and come back to get it all. And so now we're at a point where, fast forward to, you know, 9 years later, just this past year, we basically have a huge crowd that turns out from all across the area, you know, all across the Chicago area fandom, people from all different groups that know about our event because we really play it up. You know, Jen, the Klingon Pop Warrior, she will share it on Twitter. She'll share announcements about it. We promote this thing on social media. We promoted a local event, which is WindyCon. We pass out flyers. It's well known. And a lot of the local fan community has been really fantastic. They really turn out to donate. This past year was no exception. We filled up 12 bins full of toys. That, I can tell you, we raised close to $2,000 worth of donations. And that, in turn, was huge. We had 12 bins. They had to bring, again, had to bring their truck because they now have a truck for their warehouse. You know, the Marines actually fight over who's going to come to stand with us at our event. They love our event. They always have a good time.
That's good.
So
when you can get that type of participation out of the Marines, you've done your job.
Oh, we're one of their favorites, believe me. There was a conversation the other night about that. Somebody made a comment about we take our cosplay too seriously. And one of the staff people from Toys for Tots said, really? Mark and his crew are probably one of the best groups we've ever had, and he does way more than most people. And they're very pleased with that. So, you know, I'm looking forward as to what we're going to do. Well, we had to follow some rules, and that's something I'm eventually going to have to write an article about for the Mind Scanner. One of the big things this year that worried me was when we got around to announcing we were doing this event, because every year you have to fill out forms. You have to let them know that you're doing the event. On our end, we also have to notify our supervisors on the corporate side of it. I get a message from the district manager. I got to come by and talk to Mark because we have some, you know, some rules and some guidelines we have to lay out because there's been some corporate changes. And these are things that I'm actually going to incorporate in future events that we hadn't really thought of. One thing that kind of was a little disappointing was, you know, Jen had a concert in front of the store the year before, and it drew a large crowd. Unfortunately, it was such a large crowd that they were concerned about the lobby of the store being too crowded. So that was one thing. He said, no music. He said, she can come here, but she can give her vocal cords a rest, no music. He said, he liked it. He just was concerned about the size of the crowd. The second thing was how many volunteers I had. We still had all the volunteers, but we had to rotate people around so they weren't all standing in the front. I had some people down the toy aisle, some in the middle of the store. We actually have an extra register counter that's no longer used, so we took that over so that one person could collect donations at that counter and encourage people to donate, and then we had people in the lobby. The third guideline was no more going outside, and that was the one that kind of I had the question. I said, well, you know, we're just going outside and waving the Klingon flag and waving at cars, and by the way, we're on a public sidewalk. What's the difference? And Jim's our district manager for the store, he said, well, he said, who's a co-sponsor of your event? I said, Walgreens. He said, exactly. He says, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but what if somebody drove by one of those cars and they didn't hand you or throw you guys money or toys? What if someone threw something into one of your members' faces and somebody got hurt? Guess who's responsible? So that was something I had never took into account or thought of. And that's something probably at most events, if we we are going outside, it's probably something we should be thinking of, is being aware of where you are, what you're doing. So that was an interesting thing I hadn't taken into account, liability.
Yeah, I don't think too many of us have thought about that particular angle on it, but it's a really important one, because not only is there the liability of it, but quite literally, somebody could just plain get hurt.
Right, and it is winter time and stuff, but we always had a good time doing it. I mean, the second year we did the toy drive, and this is a funny story, we were outside along Route 59 at another location. It was myself, Jeremy, and a few people from the plane. We were waving at all the cars and waving people in. Well, we were about a mile from I-88. We backed up the traffic. And at one point, the state police came to see what was causing the traffic jam. Now, we didn't get in trouble. They actually donated some toys. But here again, you know, something you don't think about. What if it had turned out differently? So he had a good point. It's something I'm going to start incorporating to all of our events when I start planning them, is you know, probably that we won't go outside. And you know something? With all the guideline changes that Jim suggested, and I really have to give this district manager credit, because he didn't send it to me in an email. He came and talked to me face-to-face about it. We actually had a meeting.
If you talk to somebody face-to-face, they can start to understand what it is you want them to do.
That gets done better. That, and he hates email. So, But I'm glad I was really more respectful of him that he did that, because we were able to discuss it and modify the plan. And you know something? Even without those things and with the changes, because we've had to adapt several times over the last few years, we used to have a bake sale. We're not allowed to do that anymore because someone complained about it. Okay, we used to raise a lot of money. Well, surprise. This year, I had people, you know, without us going outside, I had people coming into the store and handing me money left and right to buy toys. We literally had over $250 worth of cash handed to us right at the beginning of the event. And, you know, I have to credit my crew with that, especially have to credit Kitu, Nanette Pacelli, who's on my ship, who has this wonderful ability to browbeat and make people feel guilty when they walk in the front door and that they have to donate something. Nobody leaves without donating something when she's up there. You know, my boss was actually absolutely in love with her. You know, she was watching her and she goes, I can't believe this. Everybody in here that she's talked to is pulling out their wallet. I know, it's an amazing thing. And you had Jen up there. And Jen is really good too at convincing people. Jen talks to people, she gets them to donate. So between the two of them, we had a lot going on. The best thing about too, with Jen being there, Jen is really great with the little kids. You know, Nanette is my salesperson. She's the one that gets people to buy the little extras that the Marines need, like the batteries and the stuff, and getting to open their wallets. And then there's Jen, who's the representative for the other side of it, who gets people to donate in a different way. So we have a lot of fun with it. You know, and this year we were also really fortunate that the Royal Manticorian Navy came for the second year in a row and joined us.
They are a big help whenever they get involved with one of our activities.
We have built a really fantastic relationship with them in Chicago. I actually serve as a liaison officer to that group, and I'm a member of that as well, as an ambassador for CAG. Being CAG's ambassador to that group has really built and forged a lot of friendships. You know, it's kind of crossing a divide. And, you know, what's interesting is the captain of that ship, he's also on my ship, he showed up wearing his Royal Manticorian Navy uniform and a Klingon sash. So I'm not complaining.
Nope. Should point out to our listeners here that the Jen he's referring to is literally the Klingon pop warrior.
Yeah, and she's really fantastic at these events. It's unbelievable. When Jen gets into a charity event, I just let her do her thing because she knows what she's doing.
Are there any tips you might give to a group that's thinking about a charity event like Toys for Tots on how to get started?
I would. One of the things that I discovered early on is find out what things are going on in your area that are popular. And then find that, you know, if you want to be successful with a charity event, find that one event that's really popular and make it your event. Own it. Grab onto it. Own it. Do something unique with it, something that maybe hasn't been done before, like what we've been doing. That's what makes these things work, you know. And, you know, there's people who actually will be calling the store weeks before. When's the toy drive? When's the Klingons coming? You know, we have that much of a following. And if you do that locally and find a charity event and make it your, what I call a signature event, that's an annual thing that your ship does, you'd be surprised at the success you're going to have with it. The other thing is do, like, again, what I was talking about, when you do these events and you work with different groups or at a store or different places, be sure and work out with those people that you're doing it at these locations. Let them know ahead of time everything you're going to be doing. It helps prevent a lot of misunderstandings.
Oh, howdy. Yes, that's very important.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Another activity that you guys do, you've got a couple of conventions you were talking about. Do you want to talk about what conventions you're doing this year?
Yeah, we've moved kind of away. Two reasons. One, Creation doesn't come to Chicago anymore, and we don't know if they're coming back. We used to go to that, not so much to have a table, but to make our presence known. Of course, what's a Star Trek convention without Klingons? But they haven't come here in 2 years.
I think that's probably called boring.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not coming back, from what I understand. We do some of the larger conventions on an individual basis. Yeah, we moved away from a lot of the large ones just because they're getting to be basically you're paying lots of money to go into a giant dealer's room. For instance, Wizard World. I had a local Starfleet ship that got a table there once, and what I saw that they had to went through basically selling their souls to the devil to get that table. They're having to be there at 6 o'clock every morning and everything else. Well, we weren't doing that. The only thing we've ever done here is Julie and I, my first officer, Amira, have dressed up in costume and gone there for a day and walked around for a few hours and passed out cards. But beyond that, I'm not doing anything else there. It's not worth it. We found that the smaller cons, like the literary cons and the library events, this has been a thing here lately. We've had all these pop conventions and pop cons and small free comic book day events pop up all over the place. And Jen has done a fantastic job of finding these things for us. That's what I do. I let my crew go out and find events and let me know about them too. That helps. If you let your crew do that, you'll find way more things. Let people be a little bit, give them a little freedom to do things. One of the things that she found was this Oakland Fan Fest. It's basically a miniature Comic-Con. The best part about it is it's free because it's at a public library. They don't charge you anything. And they were pretty good to us. We usually get a huge space for a table. We have a fan table there. And you see more people who might not necessarily know about CAG or other sci-fi events because they don't go to the big conventions or they're too expensive. It's the same thing we did one here in Darien, Illinois, last year because we had missed the deadline for the table at the other one. And they had a mini PopCon. And guess what? We were the biggest fish in the pond because we were the one main group that showed up there. So those are things that if you start looking into the local library events, I think Jen has one scheduled for us in DeKalb, Illinois later this year too. If you look into those, because it's not costing you anything except for the manpower and the time to get there, and you're getting a table for nothing. And that's a big thing because it puts you right out in the public and they're seeing what CAG is and you get a chance to show off. The other things we're doing, like I said, the smaller literary cons, as you know, we do WindyCon every year because it's local. It's kind of become our home con that we do every year, and they've been very good to us over the last 10 years. You know, we just recently got, because of the bail and jail and things we've been doing with them, they actually gave us a space that takes up almost 4 tables for free every year. So we have our own whole area that's just, it's our own corner. I call it the Klingon corner. It's ours. We own it.
And we have a lot of fun. Did they supply the jail this year?
The jail belongs to local Klingon fandom. It's basically in the care of CAG and Kai, the other Klingon fan club, Klingon Armada International, because they were the original ones that built it. I went back and had to rebuild it a few years ago and restore it. So the way it works is WindyCon actually stores it for us in their pod. So we don't
that's
have to deal with
big.
It. Yeah, it's huge. And so that's a relationship that I don't care if I'm the only one that can make it there. If something were to happen, we have to be there every year. And like I said, they give us all this space. They've been very good to us as far as having us participate in things. In the past, we've done panels. This past year, we didn't do as many panels because we were short people, but we were there and we still managed to have a huge impact. And not only that, we raised money for them, for their charity through use of the bail and jail. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. Somebody comes up and they ask us, hey, can you go arrest so-and-so? Here's $20. You know, there's nothing more fun than wading into a panel with a bunch of Klingons or into the con suite with someone who says, you have to come with us now, human. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, the fun part, too, is they don't get out until somebody else donates and pays their bail. We've actually had some people in there that we've actually had people come up and pay us to keep them in there. So
let me back up. You've had people come there and pay you to keep somebody that was in jail, or have you had people come up that are in jail pay you to let them stay in jail?
I've not had someone pay me to let them stay in jail, but I have had people like, you know, I'll have someone in jail because the jail's on the main con floor and people walk by and they laugh and, you know, they might know that person and be friends. Oh, I know her. Here's $5. Keep her in there for another 15 minutes. Okay. We'll do that. You know, and our jail is lots of fun. It's loaded with carnivorous tribbles and all kinds of creepy crawlies and stuff like that. And, you know, if it's not that, we're poking our prisoners with pain sticks and threatening them and stuff like that. We have a good time.
And another tip from the Des Moines group that also does a jail and bail at DemiCon. If you can get revenge jailings, that really spikes things up.
We have those.
You get somebody arrested, you let them know who had them arrested, then they go have that person arrested.
That happens too, because they always know who it is, because that person always wants to be on hand to see it. So we've had that. Now, this, you know, and the other thing I'm going to touch on, this year was unusual too. We had a member, our jail actually served as a place to keep someone safe from a bully. We actually had a member of the crew of the HMS Demon, which is the ship we play with from the Royal Mount Carey Navy. Somebody was harassing one of their crew members. And I kind of had jokingly told her I was going to throw her in jail anyway, because we were going to make her an honorary member of my house, which she did. She became wife number 4. Somebody was bothering her. And it was this other LARP group that was harassing her. And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to keep you in the jail. And sometimes I'm just going to keep you here as my prisoner and I'll stay here, because they can't bother you if you're in here until we can get this resolved with security and with the con staff. And so that's what we did. I kept her in the jail, and the bully came up to the jail and tried to bother her while she was in there. I'm like, uh-uh, you need to get through me to get to her. And she's behind this bar and she's staying there. You need to leave. And that's something that's really big with me with CAG, is that we have a zero tolerance policy toward that. You want to know something? The best thing that came out of that situation is I made a new friend that weekend. I talk to this person often now. And in addition to that, when the crew of the other ship found out what we did, because I made it the point to report it to their command, and like I said, I'm a member of that ship, I was actually given an award for that, and I wasn't looking for that. But they felt it necessary that they wanted to do that.
We need to do more things to protect people from bullies. So the fact that you did something like that, yeah, the Manticorans would award something for that type of activity.
It was not some little award. It was a higher level award. I forgot what it was called. I think it was some type of distinguished award. The thing of it is, for me, is as Klingons, we're going to run into people who, you know, even in a role player, just looking at it from a Klingon point of view, there's no honor in attacking the weak. And that's what I saw here. And so someone, and she said it to me, she says, you know, I knew I could come to your table, that you guys are cool, and I knew that hanging around here with you guys, I would be safe. To hear that from somebody, to know, because they know how we are at this convention, and we've had issues like this in the past, that was a good feeling to know that somebody felt that they could come to us. And that's the thing. We'll stay with that person until con security shows up and takes care of the situation.
That's always good. Any other activities you're looking at then for the year? Because you mentioned that you're trying to encourage your crew to find activities for you guys to do.
Uh-huh. There probably will be. I'm waiting to hear from Michael McVeigh. He's running a ship that's basically a bird of prey. It's basically what I call part of our squadron. It's a split off from my ship. He wanted to start a second ship in Chicago. We discussed it. We decided, yeah, why not?
Chicago's big enough.
Yeah. Well, he got us an event last year with the Phantom Battalion. The Phantom Battalion is another Starfleet group of people who are fans. The Phantom Battalion grew out of Creation. They're still active, even though there's not a Creation convention here. They still do stuff. He actually had CAG challenge them to a miniature golf tournament last year. Of course, we lost miserably, but we had a hell of a good time, and it was one hell of a battle. And it was done in costume. Everybody showed up in their TOS costumes at this miniature golf place, and we had one heck of a fun time. And of course, then we all went out to an ice cream parlor that he found afterwards. So he's been good at finding those type of events. And, you know, some people might look at those kind of events and go, well, it's not a convention. No, it's not. But people knew who we were right away. You know, they see the uniforms, they see the insignia. Oh, wow, there's Starfleet people here, and they're playing golf against the Klingons. Isn't that cool?
If you want an example of that, scale, the 501st rarely ever does conventions. Just a couple of big ones. They do lots of little things, lots of charity work throughout the community. So conventions are not the end all and be all.
No, they're not. And they're becoming, I think for us, they're a little bit becoming less of that, because of the expense and the type of stuff that goes on. You know, there's just some conventions we learned the hard way. We won't go to, and, you know, I'll say this right off, Carton, Troy Pasoli, he said it before. There's a reason they don't have conventions downtown. We had one that we went to a few years ago that was at the Palmer House Hilton that was a disaster. It was right in the heart of downtown. There's a reason that they don't do conventions down there anymore, and the convention went out of business, of course. It's expensive, it's crowded, there's never enough room, and it never works. They have one at McCormick Place that we don't go to. I don't go to because of the expense and the type of crowd. It's C2E2. Some people like going to it. I won't invest the money, and I certainly wouldn't want to do a table and put my crew through that. It's not worth it. Not after what I saw at Wizard World with that Starfleet ship. Those guys killed themselves doing a table, and it was awful for them. They couldn't really leave the table for long. They were off in an aisle, and if you know how big the size and scope of these things are, no one's really going to see you unless you're out there. It's not worth it. These smaller events, what I'm finding, and I think John Halverson has said this before, these smaller type of public events, they get you into the spotlight a lot quicker.
And you've got a lot more time to talk with each individual person rather than shotgunning.
Right, which, you know, you're not running from one panel to another. Now, with WindyCon, it's not as big of a con, so it's not as stressful. The same thing I've noticed when I have traveled to go to some of these other smaller conventions. I was at MarsCon last year. That was actually fun. You know, I had time to walk around. You weren't having everything all bunched together.
Yeah. Well,
and I think those are things that are important. You had time to do your panels. You didn't have, you know, a huge crowd. You didn't have lines to go waiting to get autographs and things like of that nature. Those things to me at the larger conventions, they can really be a turnoff. And I think it turns off a lot of people, not just us.
Although I have to disagree with you on one point. WindyCon is not a small convention.
Well, when I compare it to things like Wizard World, it is. It's not that small. And I look at that as, like I said, that is our convention. So, yeah, it's a bigger convention in those terms. Yeah, I guess you would say it's not a small convention.
Not when you talk about conventions that are like 100 to 300 people tops.
Right. And those are like the library events we go to.
Well, that's Chicago for you, because those are like the normal conventions in the Midwest. Right, Jim?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, WindyCon for us has been, like I said, it's been a great convention to be a part of. There's a lot that goes on there. No matter what goes on, we managed to have a good time. I think they usually top out around 3,000 people.
That's quite large for what Jim and I are used to. And I know WindyCon does things all the way from the Klingon experience that you're talking about through. They actually, for a while there, they were publishing their own book every year and having a book launch party every year.
They were. I have some things seem to have been pared back, but I'm sure they'll be coming back from what I heard. You know, this year we didn't have a masquerade either, and that was something that I really enjoyed because, you know, I got to a point where my crew and I were participating every year in the masquerade, and they followed the International Costumes Guild rules. And all of a sudden we were told, we don't want you guys to participate anymore. They made us master-level costumers. Okay, so what does that mean? We want you to be judges. We want some Klingon judges. Okay, fine. So I got to be a judge, and that was a lot of fun.
There was nothing
more fun to me than strolling up onto the stage, being introduced as a judge, and then turning to the crowd and telling them, I am judging this costume contest. You will perform well. You will be treated well. Perform badly, and you will die. It was funny.
Yeah, I can imagine that. But here's a little tip for you, Mark. Just because you're a master class costumer doesn't mean you can't compete. You just compete at the master's level.
That's it. They just didn't want us to compete there anymore. They wanted us to judge. And that was okay. I considered that an honor. They felt that we were doing that good of a job because I didn't feel like I was doing that good of a job. So that was a big step up for us. Just the fact that, I mean, for the fact that we're, when they have these things, that we're supporting them by judging them and helping them run things, that's a big step up.
Believe me, it's a great, having run conventions, it's really great knowing that the people you've got taking care of things know what they're doing, have the ability to carry through on what they're doing.
Oh, it's definitely so. I'm pretty proud of the crew that I have on the ship. I'm also proud of Michael, what he's done with his ship, because it's gotten better as it's gone along. It's to a point where I don't have to worry about what everyone's doing. I know if they're doing something, they've got it under control. I kind of tend to, at that point, step back and get out of their way. And that's something that's part of leadership that people need to learn when they're going on events. Sometimes the commander of the ship needs to give everybody the tools, let them run things, and you step out of the way.
Now, we've talked a lot about your ship and your ship's activities. Are there any activities that you're looking forward to in the fleet?
Well, I'm going to push Red Nose in the fleet again this year. I want to try to get the fleet out, you know, very much like we see in Dark Moon Fleet, where Christine does her Klingons Have Vision campaign, which then spreads all over. That's kind of how we're going to do Red Nose again. For me, Red Nose is going to be our fleet activity starting in the spring.
Okay, I know Christine, though, would love to get eyeglasses from you guys for Klingons Have Vision.
Well, we've already had a couple people step up to look into that already. I'm trying to remember his name. Mark Rowan down in Decatur is one of our outposts is participating in that. And I do believe my quad in Texas is going to be working on that, too. I've already mentioned it to them. I'm just waiting to hear from them.
And I seem to see somewhere that she's already got the awards for people.
She has. She's already started on that.
So, you know, it's going to be a grand old time for that. So, yeah, if you can. I always thought the Red Nose Day already was a CAG-wide event.
It is CAG-wide, but it originated out of the Cold Terror Fleet.
Yeah. Well, it started out in Cold Terror.
Right, being that Walgreens is headquartered in the Midwest and that we're the ones that started it, I kind of started it out as a fleet thing and then it just kind of took off from there. And then I started sharing with CAG and saying, you know, if we're going to do it with the fleet, why don't we just challenge everybody? At one point, we actually challenged the IKF a couple years ago. I actually posted a picture of myself on their Facebook page with a red nose saying, hey, I dare you guys to try to do better. And we actually had a few of them send in some pictures. It was funny, you know.
Okay.
And I may just do that again, make it an inter-club challenge. Couldn't hurt.
No, it certainly could. Anything to keep activity moving and moving things forward can't hurt at all.
Yeah, and that's what I encourage other ship commanders throughout the fleet. And heck, I hear from other people throughout CAG. If they've got questions about an event, just feel free to contact me or ask. You know, I'm more than willing to help. You know, I've had other members try to go and set up events. You know, as I said, if you're going to set up an event with a charity or something, make it your event. Do something unique with it.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about tonight, Mark, or?
Not off the top of my head that I can think of, unless you have any other subjects.
Not on my end.
There is one local event that we didn't do this past year, and I'm waiting to see if we're going to be doing it this year, of course, and that's Klingon Christmas Carol. But I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah, you said it didn't run last year.
No, they didn't. They were redoing some things, and so I'm waiting to find out if we're going to have it here in Chicago again, because that then becomes another event for us.
And that's a fairly major event from what I've seen and heard about.
That and Starbase. Well, there is another convention, the Starbase India, that everybody goes to. That's within our fleet area. But that's in November, at toward the end, right around Thanksgiving.
And hopefully later on, we'll get a hold of Chris Lipscomb, the Thought Admiral, and let him talk about Starbase Indy.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Jim, have you got any questions for Mark?
Where will people be able to look for information on Red Nose Day? I know that I saw this last year, but I got in too late.
Okay, there's two places. Generally, I'll make announcements as soon as I know the dates. They actually have a drop-dead date that you can't say anything or publish anything about it or tell anyone until that release date because of whatever reasons they have when they launch it. And then what happens is once that date gets there, I will start posting things. The other thing that they do is they post across social media. They actually will post it on the Walgreens.com Facebook page, and their corporate website will start posting it. Because right. they actually invest heavily in advertising and making it very accessible.
But I think most people are going to try and keep an eye on you, Mark, to know when things are happening.
And generally, as soon as I know, all I've seen so far for this year is that they're asking the employees to order their T-shirts because they have Red Nose T-shirts that are just for the team members. That just came down this month. So I'm assuming we're going to hear something in another month or two that I will know. But usually the first day that I know about it, when there's a public release coming, that's when I start sharing information about it.
Excellent. We'll be watching for that.
Yeah, in other words, they kind of keep it under wraps until it's time.
Mark, commander of the Cold Terror Fleet, thank you for your time, and I hope everything comes down the way you want it to in 2020 and see what we can expand on for 2021.
I think we will. I think there'll be a lot of other little events that come up along the way. They always do.
And if we can keep people posted on what those are, then maybe the snowball will get started rolling.
Definitely.
And more of these activities will happen.
Definitely. And again, I encourage you, if you're trying to do a charity event with Toys for Tots or that, and I encourage you to reach out to your local Marines, find out where, when, and find out who's doing it, and do a toy drive. You know, you'd be surprised at how popular these things are.
Well, I can thank you for your time, and we look forward to what's going to happen this year. Thank you, Mark.
Kapla.
Kapla.
Kapla.